The song we'll be singing in just a few minutes will be, "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" Another way of asking that is, are you prepared to meet God? Am I prepared to meet God? That's actually the question that was asked by God through His prophet Amos when He spoke to Israel in Amos chapter 4. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today as we study from God's Word, preparing to meet God. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here this morning, and I ask you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, as we look at a text from that opening in just a moment. It's really one of the themes that we've been seeing throughout the Scriptures as we go about our daily lives, reading God's Word, coming together as we have done this morning to study already, and now getting into God's Word as we study together now. We are reminded that there is a destiny, a date at which we will come to meet God. We don't know that time. We don't know that hour. It will come, He will come, as He says, as a thief in the night. And one of the themes that we see running throughout the Scriptures is a desire by God for mankind, you and me, to be ready to meet Him. To be prepared to stand before Him. We see in the very beginning when Adam and Eve were involved in their sin and they were called by God to stand before Him, they were not ready. We find Jesus in His teaching as He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of heaven at hand, calling upon His people then as now to prepare ourselves for that great and final day. And this morning in our Bible study, as Mark has been teaching us in the book of Revelation, we see that there was someone by the name of Jezebel, whether that was actually her name or figurative and attributed to her because of her deeds likened to that of the Old Testament Jezebel. The point being, she refused the offer of God, the patience of God in repenting of her sins. She was not preparing herself to meet her God. And how sad that is that there are some who will refuse. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. As we have turned to Matthew chapter 25, I'll begin by asking the question, why? Why should we prepare to meet God? Well, first, meeting God is inevitable. A meeting with God is inevitable. In Matthew chapter 25, as Jesus is preparing us to live this life before Him and ultimately to meet Him, in Matthew 25 and verse 31, He says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." And He says there, "Then all the nations of the earth will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates or divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left." He is speaking about this great final day because He wants us to prepare ourselves for that day. Over in Revelation, this same Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him." Even so, amen. And the righteous say, amen. There will be a final day when the sun will not set, but all will stand before God and meet Him. And if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 59, you'll consider that as you have made your choices and I have made mine, we have sinned. And if, in fact, we have still remained in our sin, we are separated from God. And as separated from God, we are unprepared to meet Him. In Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah 59, we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 2, in which the Lord God speaks through Isaiah saying, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." And that is our condition if we in fact remain in our sins. If we have not found a remedy for our sins, we are unprepared, we are separated from our God. And the reality that we all need to come to grips with is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And just as true as that statement is by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is that which he says in 6:23. And that is that the wages of our sin is death. It's that spiritual separation that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 59. That's why we should prepare to meet God. Because the time we will meet with God will be a time of either reward or of punishment. We've already seen this in Matthew 25 where he talks about that great division that will take place. He doing the dividing. But look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And let's look at verse 12 beginning. Revelation chapter 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. That lake of fire is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. This final day that God speaks about throughout His Word is a day of reward and of punishment. And the reality is, if you'll turn over to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, we find that there must take place a change in our lives and a change in our relationship if we are to find ourselves in a right relationship with God, ready to meet Him. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking here to Nicodemus, who came to Him by night, acknowledging Jesus as God and one with God. Jesus answered and said to him in verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus is saying there has to be a change, a transformation, a conversion that must take place if we are to enter into this blessed kingdom that belongs to God, where the righteous are. Jesus has said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. You think about the character and the quality of children who are innocent, who are desirous to learn, who are trusting, and who come to those who have care for them, and they come without reserve and desire to be loved. And Jesus said, unless you become like that child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He's told us we must be born again in order to enter this kingdom of heaven. And the reality is that we must prepare to meet God because He has a way. He has described and defined and presented a way in His Word that is a narrow way. And He tells us that not everyone's going to seek this way. Not everyone will choose this way. Not everyone will walk this way. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, as Jesus is presenting His Sermon on the Mount, people gather together to hear what He has to say, and He tells them this, among other things. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life." And Jesus says there are few who find it. But I want you to think about that. Jesus is telling us in His Word, there is a narrow way. You can find it. You can walk in it. And you can be blessed by it. But sadly, if we're not preparing to meet our God, we're walking in that broad way. That way that leads, he says, to destruction. Not to the presence of God in which we will be blessed, but the place in which there is torments and agony. There are plenty of good reasons to prepare to meet God, but when? When should we prepare to meet our God? We'll turn over to Luke chapter 16. And let's notice what Jesus has to say about the time in which we have to prepare. The time in which you and I have to operate and to make our decisions, to choose our choices, and to consider the end of our lives. For we can only prepare to meet God in this life as we breathe and as we have the ability to control our choices and our actions. And this is seen in what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, in which Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, so that the beggar died, and he was carried off by the angels to Abraham's bosom." Jesus says, "The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and he said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise as Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.'" Notice then what the rich man says. "There," he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not repent, or rather, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." The rich man understood that the distinction between his life and that which is and that which should be is the way he chose to react and respond to the law of God. And at that time, it would have been the law of Moses. And he says, "I don't want my brethren to come to this place. So you send someone back." And Abram says, "They have the law. Let them hear it." And the rich man says, "That's not enough. You need to send someone back from the dead." And Abram, he says, "Even if someone were to go back from the dead, if they're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to the one risen." And you think about how valid that is when you think about Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, who has told us, everyone, to prepare ourselves for the final meeting, to listen to what God says and to follow by obedience and responding to it promptly. And yet there are still those who will choose to ignore the very one who rose from the dead saying this. Abraham knew what he was talking about. Jesus knows what he's talking about. And when we refuse to prepare ourselves, we don't know what we're doing. We're risking everything. And we will lose it all. For the Holy Spirit says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. What about yesterday? Well, yesterday's past. It's behind us. It's gone. You can think about it. You can reflect on it. You can remember it. You can be sorry for it. You could try to relive it. But you can't change it, and you can't go back. And we cannot change our past choices. How about tomorrow? Well, let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. When we think about tomorrow, well, we're not promised tomorrow. And it's presumptuous. It's assuming too much for us to say, well, I'll always have tomorrow. I'll just put off what I should do today until tomorrow. For the Holy Spirit says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And we have lived life enough to know this is reality. Why would we ignore the Word of God, which calls upon us to prepare to meet our God today? Because now, today is the only time we have in which we can operate, in which we can do. We can't change and go back to the past, and we can't affect the future, or rather do with the future yet. It is yet to come, if at all. But we have this time now in which we can do anything meaningful. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. But see, that's what the devil is doing to some of us, even here today. He is hardening our hearts to the Word which calls us to prepare now. Don't let him harden your heart. Don't turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to what Jesus is saying in His Word and what His Father has been saying all along. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We know there's a day coming, and we know why we should prepare. We know when. It is now. And so how? And I'm not going to ask you to turn to all of these passages. And there are certainly more we could look at. But ask you to turn to a few. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, I want you to notice that the wise man speaks of a way in which most of us have in our lives operated, have chosen to go about the course of our lives. The reality is there is only one way to prepare ourselves to meet God that is successful, that will be meaningful, that will be lasting. But we've all operated as the wise man has said in Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right to a man. And there are things that you and I do sometimes that seem right to us. And we make decisions on those things that seem right to us. And we chart our future based upon those things that seem right to us. And we make our decisions and how we interact with each other and with others with what seems right to us. But notice what he says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's a cause and effect. We know that in life that there are decisions made that end in physical death. But there are just as many, if not more, ways in which choices made lead to spiritual death. And we have among us sometimes the walking dead who need to hear the truth and come out of their dead status, separation from God, into life. The wise man, Jeremiah, the prophet, said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that a way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. You see, in our sin, we're lost, and we need help, and that help is from God. And too many times we say, well, I can make it out on my own. I'll just choose and chart my own course. But the reality is we end up lost, just as we were before, if not worse, because there's a final day, and we're not prepared to meet our God. Our God, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose ways are not our ways. And if we resist that truth, well, we resist our God and we remain unprepared. Turn over to John chapter 14 and verse 6. A few of us were talking about that this morning. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. I want you to consider that God has chosen a way. He has presented the way. And He has given the way. And that is Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Now, there are people who don't like that because it's exclusive, and there are people who are upset about that because of what He says. But the reality is, this is Jesus, who is the Son of God, proven to be so by the signs, miracles, and wonders, the teaching, the prophecies, the promises, the entirety of Scripture, and ultimately proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection. And Jesus says He is the only way. Then that's the only way. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We show our faith by our works. If you are Christ's, the Holy Spirit says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we think about this one way. This one way of how we should prepare ourselves in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has Him blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so if we are yet in our sins, we're separated from God. But He says you need to come into Christ. And in Christ you can have these spiritual blessings. You can be prepared and walking with Him in this blessed relationship. But sometimes people are taken over by the circumstances of life, which bring death. And it's too late. It's too late to make changes. It's too late to change your mind. It's too late to say, but wait. John has written, saying, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works they follow them. You want to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for the day of your death so that you're prepared to meet the Lord in that final judgment. In Christ, and in only in Christ, can we be prepared to meet our God. Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, as he is talking about the resurrection of the dead, both righteous and wicked, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor is not in vain when it's labor done in the Lord. For in the Lord, we find Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you see, even in this passage, there is not a once saved, always saved mentality. Well, I've been baptized and therefore I'm good and I'm set. No, this is talking about those who are in the Lord and who walk in the Lord, who maintain that preparedness. That righteous life, that blessed life in Christ. That's where there is no condemnation. He who endures to the end, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, will be saved. Or this in Revelation 3, 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I, Jesus said, will not blot out His name from the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. And that's why He tells us to add to our faith those various qualities and attributes of thinking and of doing that are consistent and that are prescribed by His Word so that we might not fall. Because God has prepared a way for us to prepare to meet Him. And if you look over at Matthew chapter 22, I want you to think about the fact that the reality is that if we are unprepared to meet our God, then we are without excuse. If we come to that final day and we're standing before Him unprepared, we are without excuse. Because our God has given us ample opportunity in this life to make our choices and to turn from our sin and turn to Him in obedience. As Peter would say, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. What is it that Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 11 through 13? Jesus, who has called us, He says, when the king came in to see the guests, and He is there talking about a judgment time. He said, when the king came in to see his guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to them, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. In that wedding situation, he had no answer as to why he wasn't prepared. He just knew that he wasn't. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The man was unprepared and was cast out by the master. The reality is that throughout the Bible, God has been telling mankind from the beginning, to prepare ourselves for our meeting with Him. Prepare ourselves in this day, today, now, in an acceptable time I have heard you, He said, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And there is just that one way to prepare to meet Him, that is in Jesus Christ. And so I ask you to take out your songbooks. I'm going to read some passages, and I want you to think about what they say. And I want you to consider your standing right now, where you are in relation to your God. There will come a time in our life, all of our lives, in which we will not be able to make decisions any longer that are meaningful and that are lasting. There's appointed for a man to die once, and after this, the judgment. And so we need to hear. We need to hear the call. The Spirit and the Bride, they say, come. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and the people of God who are the Bride of Christ, call to you and ask you to come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That's a call to you and to me, all of us, and by the righteous, to come. But we've got to believe. We can't just go through the motions. And we can't just say, well, I'll do whatever I have to do to get my ticket punched. No, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that what He says, He means. And what He says, we'll do. He has said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to act on that through repentance? This is the time. As Paul has said, truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. There's a need to change if we are in our sins and separated from God. And that need is on our part, not God's. We left when we sinned, not God. And so we must repent. We have to be willing to make a confession that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he who denies me, him also I will deny. But it's not just about actions with the mind and actions with the mouth. For it is the same Jesus who said we must believe that also says we must be baptized. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Paul, in writing the Ephesian letter, said there is just one baptism. and that is into Christ. And when we are baptized, we're called to live that life in Christ fully and faithfully. Every day a sacrifice for our King, whom we recognize, acknowledge, and believe. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Or as Jesus said in the Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Do you want that crown of life? God offers it to you, but it's a limited time offer. There's a limit to which our God will wait. We can't go back and relive the past, and we can't go forward and anticipate the future. We can simply do with what is given to us now. This is the present. Do something meaningful. Do something lasting that will affect your eternal outcome. Is your heart right? Make your life right. Come to God today while we stand and while we sing the song that's been selected.